Language of the food matrix.
Decoding the language of the industrial food complex to see how the world's weight problems are connected to language, culture, and social practices. Words such as craving, appetite, starvation, and hunger are not clearly defined. These terms are often used interchangeably, yet there are significant differences in their meaning. Clarification is needed to help the readers understand that hunger should stand alone because of its importance in human biology. Hunger in social and political arenas makes it even more confusing. To make things worse, many health organizations casually use the word hunger to describe starvation, malnutrition, and famine.
In sociopolitical arenas, the term hunger takes on yet other meanings, like being in jeopardy by insufficient quality and quantity of nutritious food. The subliminal effect may be an unconscious averting of hunger. As a result, modern society internalizes hunger as a negative feeling and as dangerous. Therefore, frequently eating is healthy, which is a psychological distortion because most people know about problems that arise from being overweight. However, as you see, malnutrition, famine, and food insecurity are the problems. Study after study reveals that regularly experiencing hunger during intermittent fasting, though unpleasant, is necessary for longevity and good health.
These differences in description and lack of consistency are significant challenges in calorie restriction and weight management. For example, World Food Programs, Combat and Fights Hunger. More precise would-be statements like, fights undernutrition and malnutrition are potential health problems. The hunger experience is not a medical problem, it is part of a balancing system in biology. A natural physiologic response to nutrient and energy balancing.
Other commonly used words that distort the meaning of hunger include appetite and cravings. These two experiences are psychological and rooted in environmental conditions and cues. For instance, past experiences during early childhood may play a vital role in forming eating patterns. Sometimes, cultural variations can also account for the types of foods or dining practices an individual may prefer. Even peer pressure may coerce one to adopt the eating patterns of their social group. Both experiences are not associated with a physiologic necessity of nutrients or energy. However, it is essential to remember that both play specific roles in our eating practices. So, it is crucial to distinguish craving and appetite from the primal drives of hunger.
Unlike appetite or cravings, hunger is a necessary part of our physiology for good health.
The term appetite describes an individual's overall eating pattern. For example, phrases such as, Russell eats everything on the plate, Sandra eats three times a day, or, Brad can eat an entire chicken at dinner, accurately describes this term. So, to say a person has a good appetite may be more clearly understood as one who has a specific quantity or pattern of consuming food.
When experiencing a craving, we may find ourselves preoccupied with a sudden desire to enjoy a distinct flavor, texture, or dining experience. For instance, one may suddenly feel a slight inclination to consume a handful of strawberries or an overpowering impulse to devour a double bacon cheeseburger or an entire tub of ice cream. A person sensing such specific desires or inclinations is a transient experience. The eating patterns of appetite and desires of cravings may range from mild to intense and yet both different from hunger.
Calorie restrictions are a growing phenomenon across the globe where hunger is accepted without fear. Hunger is a natural result of food restrictions and healthy dieting. Like fear, a primary emotion seems threatening, but it is not. In this modern era, a change in thinking is occurring, where tolerating hunger naturally leads to better health and weight control. We are confronted with new perspectives after realizing hunger and dietary restriction are two sides of the same coin.
Intermittent fasting, time-restricted feeding, calorie restrictions, and fasting all result in the sensation of hunger. A person is hungry, not reduced calories. One would not go around saying, I am reduced calorie, or I am calorie restricted, but rather I am hungry. Hunger arises from the gastrointestinal, fat, and brain systems characterized by a cascade of chemical messengers of nourishment and energy balancing. Hunger has profound effects on the choices we make regarding food consumption.
From the Merovingian perspective, in the movie Matrix, choices are illusions. There is only cause and effect. In the scene, he describes the effect of an aphrodisiac program he wrote and inserted into a dessert which he sends to an attractive woman seated at another table. The spiked dessert affects the woman based on the program with predictive outcomes in both physiological and psychological behavior, cause and effect. Neo contends, we still have a choice, but, do we? Is our choice of eating behaviors an illusion?
According to the Frenchman, people search for power to have dominion over those who do not, referring to the power to control programs within the matrix thus influencing humankind's behavior. Is this so different from the industrial food matrix who controls the amounts of sugars, fats, and salts within our food? Is the Merovingian's program inside the spiked dessert like these addictive elements that spike our foods with predictable outcomes?
We are starting to realize the marketing of high-calorie foods does influence our behaviors. But does it eliminate our ability to make choices? The Frenchman compels Neo to ask the question, why? Why do you need the keymaker? The answer is that the keymaker has keys to open programs in the matrix. Once inside the program, it can be analyzed, changed, moved, or deleted.
Understanding these programs was necessary for Neo to discover his purpose. So, I urge all of us to ask the question, why? Why do we eat so frequently? To answer this question, we also need keys. Keys to decipher biological programs written inside our bodies that drive hunger and discover its purpose. DNA codes that control biologic processes are like computer programs. They determine the rules of biology, and it is these rules that can be used to understand the choices we make about food consumption.
Tracking global sugar consumption provides a clear window into consumer preference for higher calorie, lower nutritional value foodstuffs. Some scientists even consider sugar as addictive as a drug and is being trafficked around the world. Social media are exploding with imagery of users in developing countries glorifying foods laden with processed ingredients, refined added sugars, and little more. Sugar is the main ingredient of what is regarded as the most delicious food, so much that it is called a treat. Many experts agree that sugar consumption is an essential link between overeating and metabolic syndrome, an imbalance of energy intake and expenditure. Over the past century, but particularly over the past 50 years, the supply of calories has increased worldwide.
In the 1960s, the global average supply of calories available for consumers to eat was 2,200 kilocalories per person per day. By 2013, this had risen to 2,800 kilocalories, a 22% increase. Rates continue to increase as calories have become more readily available. To burn 600 kilocalories, you would have to play an hour of full-court basketball. Yet, our daily activity level is also on the decline.
Surprisingly, India consumes the most sugar of any country or region, followed by the European Union, China, and Mexico. Of growing concern is that by 2026, global sugar prices will decrease by 20%, allowing even more accessibility to this high-calorie condiment. According to a growing number of experts, children are particularly vulnerable to sugar and could be the first generation in the modern era to have shorter lifespans than their parents.
The matrix is everywhere. The industrial food matrix is all around you. Technological, industrial, and agricultural advancements already exist such that enough food can be produced for 1.5 times the world's current global population, that's more than 11 billion people. According to Eric Holt Jimenez, PhD, Executive Director of Food First and the Institute for Food and Development Policy, our global environment is quickly changing where we will have all the food we can consume. On the surface, this seems like a movement in the right direction. The message has been clear for years: the world must rid itself of hunger before it's too late. Many nations gladly join in such efforts to save people from terrible malnutrition and famine.
Television advertisements and charitable campaigns have become ubiquitous, sending out urgent pleas for citizens to join in the fight. These endeavors are seeing significant success and making food more available to underserved communities.
When food security is present, people begin to overconsume foodstuffs, resulting in overweight directly due to lack of hunger management. The issue of overconsumption is non-discriminatory, responsible for heart attacks, strokes, high blood pressure, diabetes, and a host of other offspring maladies, the silent killers. Grandmothers, grandfathers, uncles, aunts, brothers, sisters, and children are all affected by this growing problem. Obesity is responsible for 4.7 million premature deaths each year. In the United States, the most food-secure nation, more than 300,000 deaths are linked to weight-related conditions. Families worldwide are losing loved ones prematurely, cutting short the potential differences they could make.
Today, evidence shows that leading causes of death are, without a doubt, based on the relationship between weight and metabolic derangements.
The quality of life, as well as the measures of health within food-secure communities, is not seeing the significant improvements thought to come with the elimination of food scarcity. So, why are the world's efforts not achieving their intended advancements with measures of health still declining? The question we should be asking is this: have we been battling food security itself, or has it been something else? Why has incorrect labeling of the problem led us in the wrong direction? Everyone experiences hunger, but not starvation or malnutrition. Hunger is used because people experience it daily and think this is like starvation. But it is not. Most people in developed countries have never experienced starvation.
Although it begins with hunger, starvation is marked by well-defined stages resulting in inanition.
While, in modern times, we do enjoy the ability to produce more foodstuffs than ever before, diet-related health problems continue to multiply. How can this be? The reality is this: what we are facing in this present moment is not a problem of abundance. Rather, it is how frequently we are consuming and the amount of nutrient-deficient food products we are yielding that poses the most serious threat. Today, a vast number of easily available foods are, quite simply, overprocessed and overconsumed, lacking in nutritional value. While these products are often produced efficiently and on scales of massive proportions, the low nutritional values they supply are having far-reaching, detrimental effects.
At the same time, a sizable part of the human population is engaging in notably fewer physically demanding activities when compared to their predecessors down the years. With choices limited by a growing lack of healthy food varieties, which have been selected for their profit potential rather than for their nutrient value, alongside a significant reduction in physical activity, humans find themselves in a precarious situation. Unfortunately, as the food industry continues its fight to end the problem of food scarcity, these phenomena are the unintended yet insidious side effects of their efforts. Furthermore, they are happening on a global scale.
Despite the avid promotion of international awareness, one of the residual consequences of these efforts, the condition of extreme weight, has emerged as a primary threat to world health.
Another key factor in the emerging weight-related crisis lies in the reality that fair accessibility to healthy foods is severely unbalanced. For substantial portions of the world, high-quality foods are often priced beyond the range of affordability. In developing countries, there is certainly an increasing availability of cheaply made, highly processed foods and beverages, supplying little nutrition to support the development of healthy minds and bodies. Here, in the United States, communities of lower socioeconomic standing are being classified as nutritional deserts due to the lack of quality food options. This is not to say there are no outlets for food sales in these areas. Most regions have access to practical forms of food distribution.
However, sources and distributors of the whole, natural foods are almost non-existent in areas of lower socioeconomic standing. Sadly, the trickle-down effect of this discrimination results in dietary disparities and health-related complications. This milieu is affecting a considerable number of communities worldwide.
In a 2020 report published in The Lancet, Dr. Barry Popkin, a professor of nutrition at the University of North Carolina, referred to the dynamics of the double burden of malnourishment and the changing reality of nutrition. He says, activity-saving technologies are spreading worldwide, resulting in significant physical activity reductions. He contends that this, combined with easier access to unhealthy foods, will result in an ever-increasing burden on healthcare systems. Once considered a high-income country problem, excess weight problems have grown to include all classes, particularly in urban settings. Its global implications are huge, said Dr. Popkin. No country in the globe has reduced overweight or obesity levels.
This is astounding given the huge health and economic costs linked with overweight and obesity.
In 2017, the countries that had the biggest leap in percent of the population who are obese, after the United States, included Saudi Arabia, Algeria, and Egypt. The fastest rises were found in Latin America, Africa, and China. The future health and economic burden facing all these countries are immense, Dr. Popkin said. The change in physical activity preceded the global increase in obesity, said Dr. Ashkan Afshin, assistant professor at the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation.
We have more processed food, more energy-dense food, more intense marketing of food products, and these products are more available and more accessible. The food environment seems to be the main driver of obesity. Adam Dranosk, director of the Center for Public Health Nutrition at the University of Washington, said getting people healthy food was easier said than done. It is all nice to talk about the need to eat less unhealthy foods, but unhealthy foods cost less, healthier foods often cost more, and people eat what they can afford.
As previously mentioned, efforts to combat the dual menaces of malnutrition and overnutrition have often been undertaken by charitable organizations, national governments, municipalities, and other entities. For instance, public school systems within the United States replaced high-caloric, low-nutritional drinks sold in their vending machines with healthier beverage options. Yet, despite such efforts, extreme weight is still on the rise. In the United States alone, the 2017-2018 severe excess weight rate stood at 42.4% in all adults, with no significant differences between men and women.
According to researcher E.S. Huang, by the year 2030, 115 million adults could suffer extreme weight conditions. Diabetes would be expected to double the present situation to an astounding 44 million people.